Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh my goodness, Audrey. It's like February. February in Pittsburgh.
It's been great. Yeah. The weather's been awesome.
Yeah,
February
something like that.
Is like November.
February's like November. It's something like that. I don't know, but it's like February's here and upon us. And I guess February is like heart month, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Thanks to Valentine's Day,
that's
the Hallmark holiday.
Perfect month.
For lovers.
For lovers, and the perfect holiday.
There's 29 days in February.
This year, yes.
In 2020. And on the 29th will be the Heart Ball.
Oh, it's on the 29th?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
how
on
clever.
The 29th.
How clever.
And it's the Heart Ball at Wyndham. Yeah. And the intention is to provide fundraise.
Yeah.
For the kind of work that the folks at the Pittsburgh's American Heart Association
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how many people are touched by either heart attacks.
Everybody? I think so. I don't think I know a single person where, if not themselves having a heart problem or someone in their family has a heart problem, I think human beings are built to have hearts that explode at some point.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to be a physician and I'm not going to report on that. But I do know
I think
there's
all doctors would agree we're going to all die of heart attacks.
No. I actually don't have that in my family, to tell you the truth.
Really?
No.
Oh, it's going to wipe me out, dude. I know it is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is to create a level of awareness and education.
Definitely.
And hopefully some intervention. So,
right.
You know, we know that there's certain criteria that cause issues for heart.
Absolutely.
There are some people who are born with heart issues.
Right.
There are people who acquire it as a result of inactivity or obesity.
Yeah, or too much activity.
Or too much activity.
Too much eating, right? Yeah, exactly.
But the good news is it's on the 29th.
Yeah.
And
you're on the board
of
that,
way
right?
to be. I'm just on their committee.
Their committee. Gotcha.
Right.
Okay, that's cool.
Just to try to help them because
okay.
heart and the progress that we've made in hearts. Think about our history in Pittsburgh, right, with Dr. Starzl.
Absolutely.
That, you know, we have a strong history here. And hopefully one day heart attacks will be just a memory.
Yeah.
Like, remember back in the day,
people died
of heart attacks?
There's people working on technology around that.
Right.
And all types of good stuff.
Exactly.
So that's good. Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Absolutely. And we're moving forward. And before we know it, it's going to be March and all that kind of good stuff. And you know, it was just recently, we were putting TEQ to bed and we're putting the finishing touches on your president's message. And we're kind of looking at some things that we were looking at as we lead into 2020 and everything. And the idea that there's always been a plan to make Pittsburgh better, right? To solve a problem, whether it was our air quality back in the day.
And people still talk a little bit about it.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. Particularly in pockets where there's heavy manufacturing.
Absolutely.
But we know there's lots of dimensions. And
Definitely. Stay
tuned. We're actually going to have conversations about air.
Absolutely.
As
absolutely.
We move ahead.
But you think back to David Lawrence back in the day, like he was like putting the plan together to you know, kind of our first renaissance, for lack of a better term. And I think we're heading towards like a third renaissance at this point, where we're really trying to make Pittsburgh a place to attract talent. And talent is just so near and dear to your heart, Audrey, because you see it every day with our members where they're struggling to have the best and brightest minds.
You can't have a great company without having the right people.
Exactly.
You might not need the same amount of people or the different skill sets that you might have needed even 10 years ago. So you just can't do it alone.
Right.
Not if you're going to take something and scale it.
Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, it becomes something the whole region has to get around because you need people coming for all types of reasons.
And this has to be an amazing place for people to just actually live. Why? Because you can work anywhere.
Right? Exactly.
So
exactly.
You could be doing this radio show from San Diego.
Can we do that? Actually, maybe next January, I think we take Tech Vibe on the road,
right,
and we go to San
should.
Diego for like a month.
Well, I think we should. And you know what? Our dear friend who used to be dean of engineering is the president, of University of California.
You're exactly right.
There you go. So
yes.
We will just make him host us there.
I like the way you think already. All in the guise of just approved the world. We can work wherever the heck we want.
We can work everywhere. And that's how other people think.
Exactly.
So what makes it so special to be here in Pittsburgh?
Right.
And that's the stuff that matters. And guess what? We actually don't know. We have guesses.
We have guesses. But we're trying to build plans around that,
exactly.
I think. And I like the idea that we want to build a plan, but I think sometimes you just can't build a 10-year plan.
There is no 10-year
right.
plan. There is no 10-year
right.
plan.
But especially because something like this is going to evolve literally year to year, if not 6 months to 6 months. Like, it just seems like...
Well, people will move for something really amazing or to work for a really amazing company.
Right. It has to be a very
but
unique
people
opportunity.
People tend to move because, guess what? My mom lives there.
Family.
And I'm going to have
yep.
kids.
And I want someone nearby.
I don't
want
to be close.
I want cheap childcare with someone I know and trust.
Don't even start
exactly.
talking about childcare, because that's a whole other topic.
Exactly. But I think the idea that like Pittsburgh is really starting to try to build momentum and finding these things to attract people here, and it can't necessarily just be hinged to one single plan like we're able to do in previous generations to say we're going to make efforts to start cleaning the air and making progress on that.
Right.
This is something I think it has more tentacles to it, is way more complicated, and of course having technology implicated with it as well too, it just makes it all the more crazy.
Well, because people are moving when they do move, because we've had the slowest migration we've had since
right.
1947.
Yeah, exactly.
When people do move, they move to the most expensive places.
Exactly.
They don't move to quote-unquote quality of life.
No.
Cheap places.
No.
They want to be where there's more stimulation, where there's more things going on, where there's more diversity.
So it's not about cost of living. I
it's
hate
not about
that.
Cost of living.
Back in the day, Pittsburgh would try to sell itself way too
right.
much.
It's
hey,
so
it's cheap
to
yeah.
live here.
And it's like, that's great. And that's
yeah,
less
go
and
to
less
Cleveland.
And that's less and less true these days, thank God, because I don't think that should be we shouldn't be selling ourselves short like that anymore, because Pittsburgh is actually an amazing place to build a company or be part of a company
right.
and be part of something bigger. And I think you actually coined the phrase many, many years ago, Audrey, on the show, where you said Pittsburgh's supposed to be a pioneer, and that's something that has really stuck with me. And that's what I try to use to describe to people as to like why they should consider Pittsburgh
right.
their home base. I'm like, because you can be a pioneer here. Like
right.
it's still in that ability where you can make a big impact, you know.
And I also
and wear
say
a flannel
tie
shirt.
To that. And I also tie to that sort of thinking about pioneering is that if you want to build something, perfect place to build it.
Definitely.
If you want to just be a consumer,
don't do it.
Don't come here.
Don't come here. We don't want you.
Well, you're an armchair critic at that point.
Exactly. I don't like
you're
armchair
not
critics.
Necessarily
I want people rolling
participate.
Up their sleeves and participating
right.
and being part of it.
Participate.
Yeah.
Build it.
You can be a participatory pioneer. A Pittsburgher participatory pioneer, otherwise known as the Triple P. I don't know.
I do think that matters.
It does, absolutely.
When people come here and think that they have everything at their fingertips and they just want to be, you know, critics, it's not the place for them.
Nope.
If they want to unravel the exciting things that are happening right in our underbelly, but don't happen in other places.
And that's because we still have grit. And that allows that to happen a little bit, I think. So that's cool.
It's good to keep the grit.
Absolutely. Grit mm-hmm. is good.
Grit is good.
Grit is good. Mm-hmm. Tonight's show is pretty good. I'm really excited. The Hardware Cup is happening again. Alpha Lab Gear is doing its Hardware Cup
that's
again.
That's great. And they're going on the road, right?
They go on the road to like four or five different cities. Sometimes even they go outside of the United States.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out tonight all the details on that. I'm very excited. Plus, there's a $50,000 cash prize this year.
Mm.
It used to be a $50,000 investment. I want the cash, man, not the investment.
That's pretty nice.
You get a little
get a lot of exposure, so that's
great. It's a great way to show companies around the world what's happening here in Pittsburgh. So every year when this starts up, we always partner up and promote the Ways and Grace. We have that coming up and a lot more here on Tech Vibe. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
From the Pittsburgh Technology Council, helping tech companies since 1983. Learn more about us, of course, at pghtech.org. We're right back at you here on Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And Audrey, we've got some cool, fun friends hanging out with us today in the Huntington Bank studio, do we not?
We certainly do. It's going to be exciting to dive in and see what these two gentlemen are up to.
I like the way you call them gentlemen.
Too. I think of them as gentlemen.
Absolutely.
They're
no.
gentlemen.
We love these guys. They're really shaking it up when it comes to helping tech companies and what their legal needs are, because there's many of them. And they're actually the latest addition at Jackson Kelly. It's the tech team, Jackson Kelly. So we have Derek Maltzby here, of course, and Jason Ott. Guys, it's always good hanging out with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us.
No, yeah, we really appreciate being here, and obviously always hanging out with you folks over here, and appreciate the opportunity to be on here as well. It's
yeah,
great.
Well, so what's cooking at Jackson Kelly?
A lot. So, Jackson Kelly's been in the Pittsburgh market now for roughly 10 years, and they've now looked to really build a brand here in Pittsburgh, and a part of that brand is focusing on technology. We are new tenants of the Union Trust Building.
Oh, nice. That's a beautiful building.
You have
beautiful,
some fancy space.
Beautiful. When you look up at that ceiling.
Yeah, we have the big, beautiful atrium with the skylight. It's awesome. It's an environment that is much more similar to that of a tech company than mm-hmm. that of a law firm. So
it's a good point.
We enjoy that a lot. And
it's a great place to put a 16-hour day in, right?
I try to get out there in the world every once in a while and get out of the office. But, yeah, no, it's nice to have some natural sunlight, right? It makes the day go by so much faster. And we're really excited to join the Jackson Kelly team here in Pittsburgh and offer, a nice suite of services to tech companies and still interact with the community in different and fun ways.
You said the word interact. I think that's a really cool differentiating factor with what you guys are doing at Jackson Kelly, because I see you guys everywhere. You're at all of our events at the Tech Council, all the other events that are happening throughout Pittsburgh's tech sector. You guys are part of the fabric that way, which I think is really great to be out there. You're not just in that beautiful space there, but you're out there actually mixing it up.
Yeah, and that's a big part of what we've been trying to do in really building relationships and being able to help the tech community just generally in Pittsburgh. That's been a major part of our mission statement from the beginning, and obviously continues at Jackson Kelly. And I think that, the number of folks who work in, the corporate transactional world from a lot of different perspectives at Jackson Kelly enable us to provide a very comprehensive suite of services to all of our clients.
So people who are listening and run these tech companies of all different sizes, what kinds of things might they be wrestling with where it might be a really nice fit for them to reach out to you?
I'd say honestly anything. A part of being with a national law firm and having the resources that we have is that we're capable of helping from inception to market, to exit, to actual commercial enterprising, where you are, now running a large tech company that you have no intention of exiting, maybe. So whether it's employment issues, whether it's commercial transactions, whether it is, IP protection or anything along that spectrum, we're able and we're capable of helping.
All the facets. One thing I always tell our listeners and anyone out there that's running a company is I always feel like, this is over the 20-plus years I've been covering Pittsburgh tech sector, I feel like people's lawyers and the firm they're with, it becomes like a fifth beetle of their company to a certain degree, right? Because you have these other relationships. So if someone's in a new phase of their development, like they are thinking of a merger and acquisition, some folks that are on the M&A side that you kind of bring in. Or if someone is just starting up and you're like, no, you want to form as this because in 2 years you want to bring stock on and things like that. So you kind of, at any point in the way, you kind of bring in your knowledge plus this kind of family of other people out there.
Sure. And that's the way that we look at it is, we are business advisors, so we look at ourselves and try to present ourselves to our clients as what would be kind of outside general counsel. So we're able to kind of quarterback things for them and talk with them about corporate strategy and the legal ramifications of certain strategies and different approaches to market, to internal operations, whatever the case might be. So because of our understanding and our involvement with the tech community, we're able then to kind of look at things through that lens in a way that's really helpful. But at the same time, whenever we're able to identify, specific issues, maybe an employment law issue or something, like you said, spinning up into a deal, a merger or taking on investment or something like that, we have specific people who can help along those lines as well. So that way, we're making sure that we're using our time the most efficiently and effectively that we can to really add a lot of value for our clients.
So what's the most surprising thing, as you've been these practicing attorneys, and you have a chance to talk to all these different shapes and sizes of companies across all market sectors. What has surprised you?
I think the most surprising thing for me, and I'm sure Jason has a different answer to this question, is sort of, you know, how siloed that tech community is can be here in Pittsburgh.
Right? That's a good point. Yep.
And we meet so many
I don't
people.
Like the silos,
no,
man.
No, and like, you know, we put on the Pittsburgh Tech and Data Summit back in November with the whole mission of breaking down silos. And, you know, as we continue to work, we're business advisors, sure, and we provide legal services, but at the same time, we see ourselves as being able to use our resources and being able to interact with the community to also community build and to bring people together, you know, whether it be other service providers, other companies, or just even individuals, you know, from a policy standpoint.
Definitely.
Together into the same rooms to get things done and to solve problems. And what we've been able to do is create relationships across all those silos. By being out there in the community and being active and you know, having our own events, sponsoring others' events, and just participating in events. And that has, I think, created relationships for us to then connect other folks and,
right.
and create a more
build that whole world around you.
Pittsburgh, exactly.
Yeah, and a big part of that, too, is you know what we see as kind of a solidarity among folks in the tech community where people you know are happy to you know, be leaned on by others. You know, you have folks who are founders who are able to go to other people who founded companies years and years before, and they want to bring that experience to try to help these people out. And, you know, that's a big part of what we're doing, obviously. I mean, we're here to provide, you know, services, you know, and counsel to our clients, but we want to make a difference and make things better in the community as a whole because that's going to help all of us
that's
in the long
it's,
run.
That's what it's all about.
So that's, I mean, that's a big part of our push. And we've been, it's not surprising necessarily, but it's great to see. And every time we go out to events and things like that, that you can really tell that people care about each other in this community and want to help. So
love
that's
it.
Great.
We've got a couple minutes left. And so I think to myself, like, if people want to reach out to you, obviously, I always tell people, you reach out, talk. I know you guys, like I said, you're always out in the scene, but you're always willing to meet someone for a cup of coffee and just talk and get to know people. So don't be afraid. What's the best way for people to reach out and get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, LinkedIn's obviously a really good way. Derek Maltzby Jr. is my LinkedIn. Jason Ott, his might be easier to find and spell than mine is. And then also, you know, we're active on Twitter as well, at dmaltzby53.
At otteresq412.
There it
good
is.
Good Lord, man.
Yes,
all right.
That's a good one, though. That's a good one.
I made mine when I was, like, in high school, so I had no foresight at all.
Yeah, like, mine was a little more focused.
Yeah. We can tell the difference between the both of you.
Yeah, I'm a child. Is what this is. Yeah. But, yeah, so, yeah, LinkedIn, Twitter, and then also, so you can go onto the Jackson Kelly website and you can find email addresses and feel free to reach out to us any which way. And we would love to have people in our offices. It's obviously a beautiful office space. There's free coffee there.
Free coffee.
But we also are available.
Can I stop by and just say hey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. We're also available to meet anywhere around the city. I think the most meaningful time that I can spend is out in the city, in our different beautiful neighborhoods with different beautiful people, listening to what they're doing, learning from them,
definitely.
And seeing if there's ways that we can be of benefit to one another, right? It's not just a one-way street. I get to learn from everybody I sit down with. I get to expand my network. But in addition, maybe there's a way that I can add value and help.
Very
and help
cool. Yeah, Derek and Jason, you guys are crushing
it,
man.
These are good guys.
Absolutely.
Good guys.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
Once again, Derek and Jason from Jackson Kelly, the new tech practice over there. I think it's just so cool. I'm so glad to have you stop by.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hey,
yeah,
we
appreciate it.
Absolutely. We're taking a quick break. We've got a lot more tech vibe coming your way. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Tech Council by hitting pghtech.org. Way too much fun, Audrey.
I know.
Way too much fun when I'm hanging out in Huntington Bank studio here, talking to cool people, building cool stuff. And we got Scott Rogerson here from Up Content.
Hi, Scott.
Yeah. Hey, good to be with you guys.
We haven't seen you in a little while, so
we've
got a lot to catch up on.
Yes, it's been a long time.
Right?
Yes.
So if people are listening, what's the website?
Upcontent.com.
Just that simple.
So
very simple. Yeah, we're not too fancy.
Even I can remember that.
No. So just give us your elevator pitch so that we can dig a little deeper.
Yeah, so Upcontent is a content curation technology, which means that we help marketing, sales, and HR any communication team better find, approve, and then distribute the articles that their audience wants to read in order to deepen trust and build relationships.
And so how do you do that? Do you have a specific IP? How do you do that?
Yeah, so there's a couple components. Mm-hmm. We have our own crawler, so you're putting in very specific keywords, right?
Okay.
And we are scouring the world, English only at the moment, for articles that matter based upon those keywords. Once we find those articles, there's some machine learning that happens to identify, hey, is this more productized?
Right.
Is it more salesy? Or is it something that people want to read?
Right.
We score it on things like, is it written well? Are other people linking to it that have also written about that topic?
So you know that it's relevant?
Yes, right. Exactly. Relevant as dictated by other people who are writing about the topic, not just because it came from a very popular source.
Exactly. Because you can't trust
popular
sources.
This is what humans need.
Right. Yes.
This is what humans need to curate
their lives.
to curate what they're reading.
And that's really the big piece, right? If you look at how we talked as brands to people 3 or 4 years ago, it was, I'm the publisher, I'm going to write what I think, and you are going to read what I think. And therefore, that makes me seem like I'm doing air quotes, which isn't going to matter.
I like air quotes.
Thought leader.
You got to call them out on radio. When you call them out on radio,
then it's good.
It gels.
Okay, great. So I'm air quotes, thought leader.
Exactly.
The challenge is now that everybody's writing the same stuff over and over and over and over again.
And it's so much of it. And so how do you know what the good stuff is and what is actually relevant?
And so the really successful brands are adding curated articles to the mix and saying, you know, Audrey, you've got not a lot of time. And I'm going to be a thought leader or a resource for you now around this particular topic, which means I'm only going to write maybe 30% of the content that I share with you, but I'm going to surround it with other articles that I deem to be worthy for you to read.
Yeah.
And so you do that inside corporations, and then you do that for other companies that are trying to cultivate their own brand.
Correct. So we do see a lot. We started in marketing, so it was mostly brand communication where this was happening. So social media, email, bringing it to a section of the website. We started to see more and more salespeople picking this up as part of the social selling, direct relationships.
That's what I thought was so interesting when we were talking before we came on air, because the Pittsburgh Technology Council, we are a client of UpContent.
Indeed.
We use you on our PGH TechView site, which we, for your exact purposes, we put lots of our own content on there, but we also want to keep people on the page. And we have a feed on the bottom that's of other articles that are relevant based on Pittsburgh and technology.
Everybody check it out.
Exactly. And we're seeing some great results because we're seeing people more engaged with the page.
Yeah. 300 to 500 clicks a month are happening on those articles on that page. And it's exactly to your point. You know, you guys are writing great articles about what's happening in Pittsburgh and the ecosystem, but there's a lot of other publishers that are also writing great articles about what's happening
and we want to include that.
And we want to include that as well. And now it's a one stop. I don't have to go and check out 30 different sites.
So for that, we thought, it's so interesting. Now you talk about that now sales teams are using it. I think that's so cool. It shows you the power of content, right?
Right.
So, tell us maybe more like how like a sales team would be using UpContent.
Yeah, so there's a lot of trends right now, both on the sales side, and this is now bleeding even into the HR teams around talent branding and employee
That makes total sense. Yeah, advocacy and just basic HR rules and trends articles.
Internal
L&D
efforts. Right. So how do we make sure that our employees, whether they're in sales or not, are putting their best foot forward digitally? Right. How are they showcasing what they know? That it's a great place to work with, that we're all thought leaders and we know what's happening in our industry. And historically, there was this big focus on employee advocacy that was driven by marketing. Still a great way to get your content out there, right? If I get 20 of my employees to share the article, that's better than just my brand sharing it.
Exactly.
The challenge has been, you as an employee don't just want to see your own company's blogs flowing across your feed all the time.
You
doesn't help
you other
build
stuff.
That.
No, you
so
want
what are some other interesting things that you've discovered like over the last year or two?
Yeah, I think the diversity of what people want to read. Mm. It has been the most interesting.
Very cool. That
so
makes sense, yeah.
We've never seen the same topic created more than once, right? The exact same criteria of what that individual or that organization is interested in sharing articles
about. And what's cool about the tool is that you can really get granular.
Yes.
As to what, I mean, like literally the drop-down goes.
Right.
Like, and you can really get granular. So I can really see the fact that no one has the same feed.
Right. Which is really interesting because we do have some industry concentration, right? There's a number of firms who would probably consider themselves competitors with each other that are all utilizing UpContent.
So interesting.
But all putting in different, and all probably targeting the same customer, but all putting in different criteria of what they think they want to be sharing, which has really been interesting to see.
Right. So then how do you do validity testing against that?
Well, that's been historically a challenge as well. When I share that Forbes article on my LinkedIn profile or in my email, I don't know what happens after that historically. Now, if you go to TechFuse as well, when you click on that article, it will show the true publisher. We want to be
very transparent where it's coming from.
They wrote it, right?
It's not clickbait.
It's not clickbait. But at the bottom of it is just a little reminder of who got you there. So
exactly.
You'll see the Tech Council logo. And if you want to get these delivered to your inbox, sign up for our newsletter.
Exactly.
And drive you to that next step. And so with that little overlay, we're able to track how long people are spending on those curated pages, how frequently are they bouncing, are they coming back or not from there, which helps to provide additional value, not only to should I keep curating this stuff, but we've also seen it utilized by internal teams to figure out what they should be writing about. It's kind of a litmus test. I'm going to share something on this topic and something on that topic.
So they see what's out there and then write to it accordingly.
Sometimes I think it's like a war zone out there.
It is
definitely
a war
Wild
feel?
West.
Like,
it's
is it Wild West, right?
It
Are
really
we going to laugh
still.
About this in a few years?
It's really interesting still because, you know, when you think about, oh, go out and find articles and bring them in, it sounds like something that...
Simple,
right?
No, it's not.
If it was 1995, it would be complicated. It's not 1985 anymore.
Actually,
it would
be very easy because there was no article.
That's a good point. I could get all 10 very quickly
exactly.
for you.
Exactly.
Well, that's why I wanted to be a librarian when I was young.
It's
because I thought how great you could get information and curate
right.
it.
Your
right.
true vocation as a librarian would be very interesting to me.
Yes.
Well, no, they told me that you can't talk in libraries.
Yeah.
You can't tell people what to read and not to
read. So you can be like the docent for the library.
You're checking this thing out? This book is terrible. Yeah. Haven't you read it? No, you haven't. But don't waste time.
The interesting challenge has been that the web, there's no real standard in how you create or post an article.
Right.
Across all of these different publishers.
I
no
never
one
thought
does
about
it the
that.
Same
that's,
way.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's really, and then people have tried it. XML was an attempt, right? Then there was business XML. Remember that?
Right.
We were all supposed to get our financial statements and it very easy. And then everyone said, no, I'm not doing that.
Right.
Websites still seem very similar, where everyone kind of does it their own way. So our ability to have to go to that site, tell them who we are now more than ever as well, because everyone's very skeptical of tools reading through their site to see what's going on with that. So make sure they know what we are, what we're doing, and then actually get the true text of that article.
So
not
what's
all the
fantasy
stuff.
Ahead? What would the fantasy be as we live in this democratized information writing / truth versus fact?
Yeah, I think the
world.
The ideal scenario as we see it is that people are only writing about stuff that they have a unique perspective on, not writing about stuff just because they think that other people want to read that.
Well, I have a lot of opinions. You're going to tell me not to write about it?
If it's a unique opinion, I think you should. If it's not a unique opinion, then I think you should find an article that reinforces your opinion because that makes your opinion
and
stronger.
And promote that.
And
good
use
point.
That instead.
Right. And how do you learn that?
Yeah. Which way?
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you learn that? How do you learn sort of being revering other people's
it's
work?
It's hard.
We're like in this whole different world.
Yes. Yes, and it goes back, I think, to our school days, right? Where it was...
Right.
Oh, first-person reference is always the best way to go. You don't want to get diluted with other people's thoughts and opinions throughout that process.
But we're in a different world now.
Go touch the stove yourself and then burn your hand and write about it. You know,
exactly.
But don't listen to somebody else who already touched the stove.
It's changed.
Yeah, I think it has changed. And I think it's moved from we all need to write it ourselves, and then we get umpteen thousand articles about the top 10 SEO trends for 2020, which I don't need to read any more of those.
But they're so interesting.
One was interesting.
I'm so optimized right now.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then the other problem is they're all conflicting with each other. Who actually knows what's going on?
Exactly.
But we've seen that move then to people then reading on their own, right? There's all these news apps and proliferation of that and kind of getting that curation. But the challenge has been then it stopped there.
Definitely.
You read it for your own consumption and that was it.
Yep.
And everyone in your team is reading it for their own consumption, and that's it.
For sure.
But Audrey, you may read something that's really great, and you want to get it to Jonathan, but that's about four clicks and a copy and a paste, and who else should I put on that email? You're not going to do it.
I do that. I actually do that.
That's impressive.
Yeah, you send stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the question is there a better flow for that lets even more people get involved
in that? Exactly.
Right, because I got to think about, do I want Jonathan to read it? Who else do I want to
read
it?
Exactly.
Whose comments do I really care about that respond to me?
Right.
And, you know, we want to make it in a way where that gets shared, and then, Jonathan, you can easily click a button and say, this is great, I'm going to share it on my social, or I'm going to put this into the next email.
I like it, man.
Or this should go to the website.
I like it.
And make it all tie together.
So before we wrap things up, I have our listeners know that since we actually use this, it's actually very easy to use. You've upgraded your interface to this to where it makes it really simple to set up. pretty intuitive to set up. So it's one of those deals where you can be like me, set it and forget it, or you can be someone, you can tweak it out every day and you can do it very easily. Like you guys have just made this huge improvement over the user interface. So there's really no reason not to give this a try.
I appreciate
as far as that goes.
So just free to try.
And it's free to try. So go to upcontent.com and check it out. And Scott Rogerson, thanks for stopping by today.
Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Enjoy it.
Thank you.
All the way around. We think it's just great stuff that you're hanging out and doing what you're doing here in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I said, it was great to catch up with you again and see the way you've moved the needle on this thing over the past couple of years.
Yeah. So, thank you very much.
We'll have you back on sooner to get another progress report.
Sounds great. Thanks to you both. Take care.
Thank you.
Oh, Audrey, we got to take a break, but we got more Tech Vibe coming in front of us. It's not Wednesday if it's not Tech Vibe. So this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And we're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. You can learn all about us and how we like helping tech companies succeed. Companies like Up Content. We're going to pghtech.org. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back. You are dialed into Tech Vibe Radio, and this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, it's a Wednesday night. Always having a good time telling the cool stories, making Pittsburgh's tech sector be its cool self.
Yeah, we're going to jump in because we had some really cool B-roll that's not even aired. So
we got to talk about our B-roll sometime, Audrey.
I want to jump in because look who's in the house. He's got a new gig. He's talking about change in Pittsburgh.
Fellow podcaster as well, too. Like, yeah, he's like a Renaissance man.
I cannot deal with this introduction.
I do not.
Come on,
he even baked cookies for us. It was amazing.
When did he bake cookies for us?
Oh, yeah, they're here.
Just go with it, Jonathan.
Oh, wait, with it.
Those were biscotti,
Scott,
not cookies.
McTaggart. That's what he had. Is here, and he is with Eagle Dream Technologies, and, you know, hold on tight.
Yeah.
Just put your seatbelt on, okay? Don't take the shortcut. Wear your helmet.
Yeah, we want the background on it, and we're going to learn all about the event that's coming.
Boom. Hi, so, Scott. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good stuff.
It's fun just to sit in a room with you, too. I always enjoy talking to you guys.
Likewise.
If you ever let that B-roll see the light of day, though, we're not going to be friends anymore.
That's okay. Say. I don't care about your friendship.
Oh, my. That feels right, though. That feels like an honest moment. All right.
So talk about what you're up to.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So we're kind of excited about this new venture that you're part of, man.
Yeah, so. Olga Pagoda and I have owned Kernels for the last couple of years, consulting firm, help people, get to the next level. I'm a huge fan of Olga's. We've had some great success. And then we have a client named Eagle Dream Technologies that we've been helping for the last couple of years. And they made me a pretty nice offer to actually come in and implement some of the strategies
like
that we've been working on.
We want to hire you.
Technically, they wanted both of us.
Okay.
Right? I just want to get that out there.
Okay.
But Olga didn't necessarily...
It's okay.
She didn't necessarily see herself as a software person. Olga's always said that. She's software is a little bit, harder for her maybe to get excited about compared to – and look, she's a saint when it comes to economic development stuff.
Absolutely, man.
She puts herself out there. She works really hard. She's very good with physical product.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fixture around Alpha Lab gear.
Yeah.
And I kind of knew exactly where she was coming from when she said, I don't know if I belong in software. So I went and took the offer from our client, Eagle Dream, who is literally, and I'm not joking or exaggerating, the best AWS partner in the country.
In the world?
No. I'm not going to go that far.
See? Okay. Wow.
Like, I do have scruples. Not a ton of them, but I do have scruples.
Okay. So there you have it.
Yeah.
So there's in North America, there's 42 what they call premier partners in AWS.
Just 42.
That's it, right? And that includes Canada. That includes all the U.S.
Wow.
Includes
Mexico. Okay.
So there's not a lot of people who have achieved this level of certification.
Mm-hmm.
And Eagle Dream is one of them. And our clients... Like, there's a bunch I can't tell you about.
Of course.
There's some that are around here that I can tell you about, like Howard Hanna, we're very proud to be working with.
Cool.
I think we're now allowed to speak about all the work we did for Monroe Muffler Brake all throughout the continent, right?
Wow.
Like, big clients.
That's
cool
awesome,
stuff.
Man. Yeah. I love hearing that type of stuff.
But what we do is cloud at a level that I think Pittsburgh has never been treated well on. Pittsburgh has
you were
never
saying that
actually
before
had.
We hit the record button. And I was really surprised because it's a strength that we have not had according to your perception of what's going on in the marketplace. So I think it's interesting. Yeah,
I think in technology, a lot of times it's very easy to get pulled into conversations about complexity, right? And when you talk about the AWS environment, I think we're very used to talking about the cloud being simple because we've had to explain it to people that way. We've had to not scare people when we talk, oh, don't worry, right. It's just computers.
Right, the migration was tough.
Not actually in the air, right? It's not a cumulonimbus. It's a, it's not different, not that much different than our friends at Expedia down the
exactly,
hall here.
Right.
But instead of the way Expedia does it, which is they own their own stuff for their own uses, and then they, they make some of it available for rent, AWS says, look, everyone's welcome. Everybody can just sign up and use it right now. And it's like a utility, right? So when you turn on the water, you'll get a bill at the end of the month for how much water you use, right? That's how AWS works. But there's a bunch of different ways that you can optimize your costs. There's a bunch of different ways, services you may not even know exist. And my job is, frankly, to help people understand what those options even are.
Definitely.
And then, to the extent that it works with their business goals, actually plug them into those services so that, for example, you can have access to data in a timely fashion and it doesn't feel like it was such a difficult manual
making
thing
it seamless.
Like it is today.
It's kind of like an appliance. If you turn it on, the lights turn on, your data's there.
Yeah, right? In the old days, you used to have to hit your intercom, right? I'm thinking like, M hitting the little intercom, right? Money, penny, bring me the file, right?
I'm working on the Penske file right now.
Literally, it just shows up on the wall now.
Exactly.
Like, as you need it.
Exactly.
And it can recognize your face and only produce that data visualization when you're in the room to receive it.
Right.
I can shoot monkeys into space with this stuff if you just let me. It's cool.
Just remind our listeners, we're talking to Scott McTaggart from Eagle Dream. I don't think we gave you the formal introduction. We were rolling in there. And
oh,
I don't think
come on.
Knew that we're talking to Scott McTaggart.
Get serious, man.
I had to throw it in there just in case because we're halfway into this thing. People are like, who the hell is this
You call
guy?
This an audio show? Come on.
Barely.
You are like so jacked and excited about this.
I am.
It's good stuff, man. It's really,
I'd have to be.
You're bringing this new service to Pittsburgh.
I truly loved owning and participating daily in kernels. I was where I wanted to be. Like, this was not a situation where, Olga smells like beets or something and I had to leave.
Okay, I can't take it anymore.
She does.
Well, she does, but that's beside the point.
But frankly, love the smell of beets.
I'm down for beets.
Yeah.
But the conversation is just, it's a great, I'm going to sound cheesy, it is an honor. Like, there's so much possible right now. And I don't know why, but no one's taking advantage of it. And if I can sort of be the English-to-English translator that
there
shows people like what's possible, do that.
And part of showing this, you have an event that's happening on February the 20th, Make Sense of Disorderly Data.
Yeah. Big,
and let's talk about this because I think this is a great way for people to really learn more about what you're up to and how beneficial the service is, right?
I appreciate that description because it actually is sort of like a perfect example. So everyone around this table, we've all talked. We've known each other for a bit, and we've had these conversations about everybody saying, oh, well, data is the new oil, which is great if you're a CEO on a, Delta flight and you're reading Forbes magazine. Like, it's words. It doesn't mean anything. Right?
It makes you sound smart when you talk about it, though, right?
Like, literally, when the podcast comes back, when Pitchworks comes back, the podcast that I do, I'm going to talk about this because too many investors just sort of shrug and they go, oh, you've got to make a data play here.
Like, of course.
These investors don't – I'm sorry, but they, in most cases, do not know how to build that quote-unquote data play where you can harvest the value. I'm going to show them how
to do that
harvest
this event. Yeah.
Holy hell. Wait a minute. I'm not going to show them anything. Let's start there. Data scientists are coming into town to show you how to use point-and-click tools so that even a novice can actually make sense of that data.
Of the data.
So you've got an application that's running. You can actually pull – the report out of that, dump it into a central repository, match it up with data from somewhere else in your business, and actually start seeing between the lines.
Right.
Start seeing like, oh man, there's a trend here we could be taking advantage of.
And where's this happening? This is over at the PPG
Paints? It's over at the hockey rink. Yeah, it's
Come
over
on.
At PPG Paints.
And it's like an all-day thing or what?
It is, and it's going to be hands-on.
Okay.
And there will be parts of it that,
Well, I'm glad it is because I think this is the type of thing where you can't get this in an hour or two. I think you got to kind of immerse
yourself
in the day.
It's also going to be interactive in those questions.
Well, you're going to make it fun. Yeah,
you're
going
to
make it
engaging. Talking to a data scientist is not something that happens to most of us, right? Like, I'm serious.
Right.
Like, that's a really cool thing, especially again, with as exciting as everything is right now with what's possible,
right.
Talking to somebody who goes like, oh, yeah, I could solve your problem like really quickly, is a transformative event for a lot of
people. And how do we get tickets for this thing?
So there's an Eventbrite link I'll send you. That's pretty easy if you don't mind putting it out there.
Absolutely.
But the easiest way, honestly, to find it, just find me on LinkedIn.
There you go.
Right?
Scott McTaggart.
Scott McTaggart. It's just that
and
easy.
And that's Scott with one T.
Don't make it hard on them. No. Don't psych them out. They're not going to think they can do it.
I'm just going to say. I'm just making sure they find the right Scott out there.
Why do you think Pittsburgh is lagging? And why do you think...
Yeah.
I've saved people a lot of money in the 3 weeks I've been doing this job already because they've been buying the wrong services.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like just a little.
Right.
I have spent a lot of time just giving people money back in the 3 weeks I've been doing this job.
Like, you make a lot of people happy then, huh?
Yeah. You just walk in and be like, yeah, you bought the wrong thing for your use. You bought the wrong thing for your application. Or did you know about this newer version of the service?
So is there any size company that's your sweet spot?
It's hard to say that because almost every business right now is in a Blockbuster versus Netflix fight, whether they know it or not.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of us here locally, we pride ourselves on, like, you know, the old tools work best. But I think it's really important to just ask yourself, am I Blockbuster or am I Netflix? Even if, you know, you want to fall back on old school accountability, old school tools. Startups we're working with on the regular. You guys know.
Like, Most definitely. That's your thing.
Startups are near and dear to my heart, especially local startups. I think we have some really hardworking people here. But, you know, these large businesses, frankly, like, I can start stacking wins on top of wins for those large businesses.
These folks need to be reaching out to you because everyone knows they have something out on AWS somewhere, right?
Well, even if you don't.
Or if you don't, how you can move over to that and start saving
all
money.
All I care about – I don't – look – with all respect to all the technologists that do this and make their living doing it, I don't care about the tech. I don't care even a little bit about the tech. What I care about is the thing you think can't be done is, in fact, doable. And I wish I were exaggerating.
And it's doable at the right price.
It is cheaper than – so I just gave a presentation right before I got here where someone was they were a little bit reluctant to put their marketing stuff. You know, they've got like some interactive marketing stuff that they, you know, they host internally. It's 6 cents per gigabyte to do it with Amazon.
6 cents per gigabyte.
And that's just that one service. Okay. And it's like, oh, okay, well, we want to make it smart with, you know, we want it to recognize me. Right, we wanted to recognize through machine learning that it's me sitting in front of the console. Oh, well, that adds $2 to it. Like, we need to be aggressive. And if I had to draw this to like a simple conclusion, it's this. There is a problem with people at the top of the executive chain thinking that they could never understand what I'm talking about, and I will never... like, I will never let it get to that point. You have to have practical conversations with people that say, like, I don't care if it's in Java or Python or, like, we just need to get your business connected, all the different departments working together. Yeah, I don't care about the tech. I care about you getting the thing that you thought was impossible.
Okay, so this guy is pretty passionate.
I love the passion, man. I think it's super cool.
This is Scott McTaggart.
Absolutely.
Now with Eagle Dream.
Yeah, exactly.
Stirring up good stuff for the region.
February 20th, mark your calendars. Reach out to Scott.
Also at eagledream.com. I'm sure there's a link for the event there if you don't feel like spelling McTaggart.
Or find McTaggart out there on LinkedIn. He'll give you a link to register for the event. We think it's really important stuff. We're glad you're here in town shaking it up, Scott. Awesome to have you here.
I love you guys. I appreciate you having me. And that was really, really cool of you.
Fantastic all the way around. Another Tech Vibe under the belt, Audrey. But next Wednesday, every Wednesday, Tech Vibe is rocking the air. Simple as that. Telling great stories like Scott's. I love it, man. Too much fun.
All right. See you next week.
Absolutely. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org.